Hey. You want to know Fonzie's favorite place to eat? Chick-fil-A. Sorry, I read that on the internet. It was so corny, I had to say it. Happy Father's Day. How many fathers we got in the house? Yeah? If you near a father, tap him on the shoulder, say, congratulations, you made it. being a father for me has been a growing experience, a maturing experience, if you will. I remember when our middle child was born, I was probably the most scared I've ever been in my whole life, because what am I going to do with it? I don't know what to do here. What am I doing? Had no idea, no clue, thinking I'm probably going to be the worst father, not knowing, you know, and now I'm just worried about my wallet being able to handle it. For real. Mark Twain, I was looking up some quotes. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. I told my dad, I gave him $100. I said, go buy yourself something that makes your life easier. He went out and bought my mom a gift. Sorry, it's not comedy hour, but I saw these things. I was like, I got to use this stuff. But congratulate your father, your brother, whoever in your life has been a father. I know my dad was not my biological father, but he stepped in to a pair of shoes and loved me and my sisters like we were his own, and raised us to be individuals of character, trustworthy, and I couldn't be more proud to call him dad. I don't tell people that he was my stepdad. I call him my father, because that's a role that a man takes on, and when they do it, they're going to do it right. And I have such pleasure and joy and honor in saying that I'm a father. So today, congratulate your fathers. Why don't you stand with us? We're going to worship the Father. Oh!
In your hands, this whole world may hold me down, but it can never drown you out. I'm not merely flesh and bone. I was made for something more.
Broken.
deserve the glory. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives within me. Christ that lives within me. From beginning to the end, you deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. You are God. You're the great I am. For me to live in.
Us. us with your light and your peace. You diminish fear. You diminish anxiety. You diminish depression. None of those things can exist in the light of your love. And I thank you. And just ask that you overwhelm us with it today, that we can just rest and relish and praise you, Father. We love you.
Man, good stuff. I was thinking this morning, and I shared it with a few people, that one of the things that I'm the most proud of my generation, is that we changed the complexion of the church. Generation before ours, there wasn't that many men in church. Overall, over 3/4 of the congregation, remember that, Billy, would be women and not men. And beginning with my generation, that changed, and fathers began to go to church. Back then, they only went on Easter and Christmas. Why they call them CEOs, Mike Oliver used to call them, Christmas and Easter only. But I'm glad to see all these fathers here. Good to see you here. Give you a few quotes of Dad. I always do that on Father's Day. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. He told me more than one time, if you can't be home by midnight, be somewhere. What he meant, somewhere safe. Out, not out in the road somewhere. The only time I was after midnight, I got put in jail one time. So I realized what he was saying. Don't be out after midnight. Take care of your nickels and your dimes and your quarters and dollars to take care of themselves. Always told me that. I built a swimming pool one time, and he said, I hope you enjoy that pool, but when you need some groceries, see if you can get in it and go to town and pick them up. This one really not a, probably shouldn't say it, but he said, don't marry for love, marry for money. Love grows, money don't. That's probably one of his worst sayings. But don't marry an ugly girl or drive an ugly truck. That was one of his sayings. So I tried to do that all my life. Definitely didn't marry an ugly girl. But I miss him greatly. You'll always miss your father. Thank God for fathers. Amen. Thank God for fathers that, you know, because you're such good fathers and you go to church not just on Father's Day, but all the other Sundays too. I tell you what, next year, all of us fathers just going to go to Florida fishing on Sunday and let the ladies hang. How about that? Is that good? We'd just spend, you know, honor you for being so faithful the rest of the year. No pastor, I guarantee you, in the United States is offering that deal on Father's Day to them. Tell them that on Sunday, Father's Day, we're going fishing. I always wanted to say that on Sunday. I'm going fishing. I was in a store one morning. I used to stop and get me some shirts and a grapefruit juice every Sunday morning before church. I don't know why, just a habit of mine. This little boy who came to church, him and his daddy, and I was in the line. The little boy came up to me and tugged on me and said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Me and daddy ain't going to church this morning. We're going fishing." I said, "Well, that's good. I hope you catch a lot of fish." And it looks like to me some of them went fishing this morning, don't you? All right, I'm going to teach you and preach to you one of the greatest, if not the greatest, parable ever. I want to share with you what Jesus said was one of the most important things he ever said in his life. Think about that for a moment. Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you won't understand anything else that I say. If you don't get this, you won't get anything else that I say. I think that's pretty important, wouldn't you? That's a pretty big statement to make, that if you don't get this, you won't get anything else that I say. And so in Mark chapter 4, and what I'm going to do with this, every year, at least one time, I preach this parable at least once a year. And this is the year, this is the time, this year I'm going to do it. But how I'm going to do it this year, I'm going to start at the end of the chapter, then I'm going to go to the first of the chapter, and then I'm going to end with the middle of the chapter to really pull this together and see why this was so important. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Be taken away from them. This is one, I think, of the hardest sayings Jesus ever said. And what he's really speaking of is he's talking about a law of increase. In other words, you have to keep going and going and going. You have to keep pressing in and pressing on and pressing in and pressing on, because you're either getting more or you're losing more. You're either getting more or you're losing more. You know, some people say, you know, I take 3 steps forward and two steps back. Well, that's okay if you really do 3 steps and 2 back. You, at least you're moving forward. But the sad thing is a lot of people take 3 steps forward, 3 steps back. 3 steps forward, 3 steps back, because they're not moving on and on and on. And Jesus is saying, if you don't keep on going, if you don't keep on pressing on, you're going to lose. I mean, I haven't realized that in life. You don't use it, you lose it. You don't use it, you lose it. Just strap your arm to your side for about a week and then unstrap it and see what you can do with that arm in just 7 days. You'll be amazed how much strength is going to be gone in that arm, because you just let it be strapped to your side and you never moved it around and never did anything. You'll be amazed how much strength you'll lose in that one arm in 7 days. So Jesus is saying this thing's not just for yesterday, but it's for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We have to keep pressing and moving on. One great evangelist, I don't know who he was, he said this: it takes 5% effort to get a person to Christ. It takes 5% effort to get a person to Christ. It takes 95% effort to keep them growing and maturing in the Lord. That's a powerful statement. 5% effort to get them to Christ, 95% effort to keep them pressing on, moving on, and maturing in the Lord. And so in John chapter 5 and 39, the Pharisees said this to the Lord. They said, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. And see, what he was saying to them, you miss me in the scriptures, you miss it all. You miss me in the scriptures. You think you know because you know the law and the prophets. You think you know, but you miss the significance of the scriptures, because the significance of the scriptures is not in themselves, but in who they point to. Because that's all the Old Testament did, was keep pointing to Christ. And the principle he's saying, you can't stop learning. You can't stop relearning. I'll say that again. You can't stop learning and you can't stop relearning. So he says, Peter said, I know you know these things. I want to remind you of these things over and over again, because the more I remind you of it, the more you'll keep going on. You got to keep learning and you got to keep relearning. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy, he said, you know, you're going to come into a promised land. You're going to have all of these things. He said, but you're going to grow cold. You're going to get away from God, and you're going to lose territory, and you're going to lose this, and you're going to lose that. He says, but when you return to me and you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And Israel kept doing that. I mean, they would gain territory, they'd lose territory. They'd gain this, they'd lose this. They kept gaining, losing, never coming to the knowledge of truth. They just kept moving forward, moving back, moving forward, moving back. In Pentecost, we called that backsliding. You'd be here one day and back here the next day, up here one day and down here the next day. And so, when Jesus says this, he has spoken to them. He sat in a boat. Now, there's a reason he got in the boat, because it became his amplifier. He would speak from that boat across the water, and they could hear him. He wanted to make sure they heard this parable he's about to say. And he said this parable that's called the parable of the sower. And it's not the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the soil. It's not the parable of the seed that's being sown. It's the parable of the soil that it's being sown into. It's not about Jesus speaking the word. It's about you and I receiving the word. It's not about the preacher sowing out the seed. It's about the soil that it's fallen on. And he said, and some soil fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air immediately took it, and nothing happened. Some soil fell on shallow ground, and it took root, and it grew, but after it grew and the sun started scorching it, it withered away. Some seed fell on thorny ground, and it grew up, and it started bearing fruit, but the thorns would choke it and choke its productivity. But some seed fell on good soil, and the good soil brought 30 and 60 and 100 fold. 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you know anything about farming, you know that if it's sown in good soil, if the seed finds good root and the seed finds fertile soil, man, what it bears is 30 and 60 and 100 fold. One little garden can, gosh, it can just grow so many tomatoes. Somebody brought me a tithe this morning, a big old bag of tomatoes. I don't know why some of you aren't hearing God. This one person heard God and brought, I got a big old bag of fresh, green, and ripe tomatoes. Wow. Big bag. Now, why can he bring me that big old bag? Because I guarantee you he's got a garden that's bearing 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And that little bit he gave me is nothing. Nothing to compare. And so then Jesus, disciples said, Lord, why do you speak to us in parables? And Jesus said in verse 11, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and will be forgiven. Lord, why do you speak these parables? For you are given the right, if you will, to know the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. One of the greatest things ever spoke over me was a prophecy, and Randy Adler said, don't you ever think everybody sees what you see and hears what you hear. Don't you ever think everybody sees what you see and hears what you hear, because you in the most awesome, and I can't wait to say this. I've never said this, but I get to say it right now, and I'm so thrilled about getting to say it. Because you are part, if you hear and you perceive and you see and you understand, and you're in on the secrets of the kingdom of God, you're in the greatest clique in the world. I'm part of the greatest clique in the world. I'm a part of a group that we know the secrets of the kingdom of God. We know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I'm proud of that group. You can call, say all you want about that. I love this group. Not everybody sees this. Not everybody gets this. You know, I looked up the word mystery, secrets in the Greek. It's a knowledge known only to the initiated. You don't tell everybody this. It's only told to the initiated. I read this years ago. And I never shared it. I put it away. I just said, Lord, I just not ready to teach this right now. I'm not ready to share this right now. this is a little heavy to me. Just doesn't seem right. Just doesn't seem right. And so I got to meditating on initiated. And I thought, what is initiated? It's a person who shows initiative. If you show initiative, if you show a willingness to know God, if you show a willingness to understand, if you show a willingness to receive, if you show a willingness to be open, if you show a willingness to say, God, I'm here, speak to me. If you show a willingness to for God to know you and you to know God, if you show that willingness, he said, you can be initiated into this private club. An initiation fee. Let me tell you something. Salvation's free. Salvation's free. Eternal life is a free gift. Abundant life's not. Abundant life's not a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. Abundant life is going to cost you. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Why did he say buy the truth? Because it's going to cost you. Truth doesn't come easy. Truth doesn't come by just, you know, it's not given to the casual, passive believer. Is someone who's seeking God with all their heart. Jeremiah said it this way, and you shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. And this is what he's been saying for centuries and centuries. This is for you. You can't stop continually putting yourself in the place to continue to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. You can't stop that. You can't stop moving on and on and on. We got the School of Positive Thinking coming up next month. You can't stop. You think you've been to School of Positive Thinking? You got it. No, you didn't get it one time. This thing is on and on and on and on. And you can't stop. You can't stop. If you stop, you'll lose it. If you stop, I guarantee you'll lose it if you stop it. You stop opening your heart and opening your mind and opening your ears and listen to people and listen to God and trying to get for what's going on in the earth. If you stop it, you'll lose it. But if you keep pressing on, you'll get more. You'll get more. It's the principle of the kingdom. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You ever heard that? Guess what? It's real. It's true. One guy said, if you took all the money in the world, all the money in the world, and you could put it in an airplane, and you took it up in the sky, and you opened the doors and threw all the money out, and people could gather all the money they want, that within 10 years, it would be in the hands of 3% of the population. 10 years, it'd be in the hands of 3% of the population, because they'd know what to do with it. Because they'd know what to do with it. Because they take initiative with it. And they would do something good about it. Now, I went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago. It's a good friend of mine and Mike's, and his name was Ray Nixon. We graduated together. And during the funeral, this story was told about Ray. And I remembered it when they said it because he did this all the time. Matter of fact, about 7 months ago, he did it to me at another funeral. Ray would come up to you and he'd go, here's the deal. Here's the deal, Ron. And he'd tell you this story. And after he tells you the story, he'd look at you and say, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? I did a funeral. He got me in the foyer. And he walked up to me about 6-7 months ago. He said, here's the deal, Buren. I said, what? And he told me this long story. I mean long story. And you know, he was very long. He lost me. he lost. I'm not saying he told me a long story. He lost me. And so at the end of it, he started out, here's the deal, Buren. And at the end of it, he said, what you going to do about it? And I said to myself, I don't know what I'm going to do about it because I don't know what you said. I don't know. I can't do anything about it. Oh, man, I'm fixing to preach now, Keith. Fixing to preach now. I can't do anything about it, not because you didn't tell me the story, because I didn't listen. because I didn't take initiative and listen to what you were saying. I can't do anything about this story because I didn't listen. Because we got too many people, oh, I know. No, you don't know. The moment you say, I know, you shut yourself down to all understanding and all revelation for the future. Two words you ought to stop saying, I know. I know. Your kid starts, just stop. No, you don't know. Anna loves to say, I know, because she really thinks she knows. She really, really thinks she, and so her favorite two words that I know, but she's being trained by mama and daddy and me. No, you don't. Don't say, I know, you don't know. And I've trained myself over the last 6 months to stop saying, I know, even when I know. When I'm in a deep conversation with Raph, we're talking, I don't say, I know. I say, that's good. You know what? When I say that's good, another revelation opens up, another avenue of understanding happens. But when I say, I know, shut down. You know everything, so why am I going to tell you anything else? Because you already know. No, you don't know. We're ever coming to the knowledge of truth. Ever coming to the knowledge of truth. We don't stop here. We keep moving on. We're ever, ever coming more and more and more from faith to faith. Glory to glory. But if you don't listen, you won't get it. And you'll forget what you already knew because you quit listening. Because you quit listening. Because you thought, I know. I know. Just start saying, whoa, man, that's good. Tell me some more. Wow. You know, I could get in a conversation with Ike, and I've been doing this a long time, and we could probably get to talking. He probably could say something to me, and I'd go, I know that, Ike. Dude, I've been doing this a long time. Who are you to tell me? Who am I going to sit here and listen to Ike tell me something about the script? Ike, really? But you know what? If I went, that's good, Ike. That's good. We'd keep talking. I guarantee you he would tell me some things I don't know. And I'd get some understanding of some things I don't know. So what time it is? Messing with you. Anna's typing the New Testament. She doesn't type the whole New Testament. Not pasting, she typed the whole New Testament. Anna, the Bible's so good, I wish it didn't end. Long pause. Wait, it doesn't end. We are the Bible. We are writing it and expanding it every day. And she read out loud John 1, the Word was with God and the Word was God, and said, that's how we continue to write it. We are the Word. Whew. We are the Word. We are continually. Paul said we are living epistles read of all men. The only Bible most people will read is you. The most Bible most people will ever read is you. It's what you live out, what you talk out, what you faith out will be the only Bible most people ever get to look at. Show us the Father, Jesus. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do I do it? Here's the deal. Now, what you going to do about it? The wayside is where everybody else walks. It's the paths through the garden where everybody else walks. And it's hard ground. And the seed never gets to even get into the earth. And birds and the fowls of the air just come and pluck it up the moment it's sown. It's where everybody else walks. Kitty. Everybody else walks on that ground. So, Most people have too many voices. There's too many voices going on in your life. Narrow down those voices. You don't need that many voices. You don't need that many people speaking into your life. Narrow it down to those who are going to speak truth. Narrow it down to those who's going to speak hope. Narrow it down to those who's going to speak the good things. Because a pathway is where everybody else walks. The stony ground is what Keith shared with me years ago. It's called a hard pan. And it's where they would dig so deep every year. They would dig only so deep. Well, what happens, it develops a hard pan. And it only goes so deep. Some people saying, this is as deep as I'm going. You better break up that fallow ground and go a little bit deeper. You better say, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm not going to plow the same depth every day, every year. I'm going to plow deeper and deeper, and I'm going to keep plowing. He said, then there's the thorns. And he says, this is the cares of this world. It's the lust of other things. Think, you know, I don't know about you, but I found out something about things. God, you know, I've heard it a thousand times. God don't mind you having things. He just don't want things to have you. You know what? It's hard to have things and things not have you. You know what I found out in my life? The most simple day of my life, Billy, was living in a 12 by 65 trailer with one automobile and one little girl. It was simple. My life wasn't complicated. Older I got, more complicated it's got. Got Ron. You knew it. You felt it coming, didn't you? I got three automobiles, not one. Got to keep them up. Have to change the oil in them. Got to wash them. Clean them. Had a little bitty house. Nothing cleaning that little bitty house. Got a big old house in there. Oh, my gosh. It complicates. Things complicate. Complicates. And he's saying that's what's happened. People complicate their life. They let all this other stuff so complicate their life. Because when it comes down to it, it comes down to the simplicity of you and God and those you love. I'll say that again. It comes down to you and God and those you love. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more vital than you and God and those around you in relationship. Nothing. If you don't have anything else, that's the greatest you can have. That's all you. You're the richest person on earth if you've got God and others. So he said, let me boil it down. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor yourself. On that hang all the laws and all the commandments. Hang it on these two things. Because if you ain't got God and you ain't got others, you don't have anything. You're not rich. But if you got God and you got people, you're rich. You're so wealthy. Because that's what happiness comes from. That's where peace comes from. That's where joy comes from. I give you $5 million and stick you on an island all by yourself. You win the Powerball last night, put you on an island all by yourself. See how happy you'll be. See how happy you're going to be a gazillionaire with nobody to share it with, nobody to love with, nobody to understand with. Wouldn't that be horrible? All right, that's the deal. You got the deal? Let me close the deal out. What you going to do about it? What you going to do with what I just said? It takes three things to bear fruit, bear 30, 60, 100 fold. Three simple things. Number one, hear it. Number two, accept it. Number three, put it into practice. Hear it, accept it, 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 put it into practice. And you know what you're going to do next year? Hear it, accept it, and put it into practice. And what you're going to do in the next year, hear it, accept it, and put it into practice. Because when you stop hearing it, when you start accepting it, and you stop putting it into practice, you lose it all. And he that hath shall be taken away, even that which he has. But he that has shall be given more. Shall be given more. It's a principle. It's a law, if you will, of life. And it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair. But it's fair. It's fair. So I plead with you. I plead with myself. I can't stop moving on. I can't stop pressing in. I can't stop, Lord, teach me more. I can't stop. I want more understanding. I can't stop because it's the greatest thing in the world. And there's nothing that brings more peace. And I can't stop loving you. I can't stop loving my family. I can't stop loving my friends. I can't stop looking so forward to going fishing with you this week, Jim. Can't wait to get in the boat with you. Love, because you know what I'm going to love about it more than fishing? Is you. I'm serious as I can be. I'm going to enjoy you in the boat as much as I'm going to enjoy fishing. If we don't catch any fish, we're going to have fun. But we're going to catch fish. Prophesy that. Yeah, we're going to do that. You're here today. I'm not going to let you go without this. Especially if you're a father. Especially if you're a man. You're going to be a father probably one day. And you want this. You want this. You want this more than you want anything else. You want this. I want you to stand to your feet right now and say, I want this. I'm going to do this, Spirit. You gave me the deal. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to work. I'm going to put it into practice. You don't know Christ, you say, I'm going to do it. Stand up right where you are and say, I'm going to put this into practice. Here's the deal. What you going to do about it? Gave you the deal. What you going to do about it? Here's the deal. What you going to do about it? Everybody's given the same deal. Everybody's given the same deal. It's just what you're going to do about it. A man came to Ralph Martin about a year ago. He had $7,000 to his name. He was a drug addict. Told Ralph, said, man, God so blessed you. And Ralph said, no, not like you think he does. I made good choices over my life. I made good choices. And the guy said, I got $7,000. In 3 months, listen to this, in 3 months' time, this $7,000 is going to be spent on pills. It's going to be gone. Or I can go to rehab for 3 months for $7,000, and it's going to be gone. And Ralph looked at him and said, what decision are you going to make? In 3 months, it's going to be gone, period. Either it's going to be gone spent on pills, or it's going to be gone spent on rehab. He went and spent $7,000 on rehab. Today, the man is a multi-thousandaire, almost getting to be a millionaire. True story. Got more money than he's ever had in his life. Happier than he's ever been in his life. Calls him at least twice a week saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's the choice we make with it. And from this day on, it's the choice that we make. What am I going to do? Here's the deal. What you going to do about it? That's what matters. The same deal's been given to everybody, every person. Saw you walk in today. God's got a great plan for your life. As soon as you walked in, there's something about you. When I looked at you, I thought, this dude's here at the right time, the right moment, to hear the right thing. And you know God loves you. And that just here's the deal. Now you do something about it, okay? You take it from here and you walk this thing out and you begin this journey that it's going to be a journey like you never have even thought you could experience. He's going to do exceedingly abundant above anything that you could ever ask or think. What has been is not what will be. What is what's not going to happen, what's going to be. What you see is not what it should be. But it's what it's going to be. It's far greater than all of that. Amen. Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you, Lord, for people that decide that I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to love others. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to love my neighbors. I'm going to love you. I'm going to know today that the most important thing in my life is not my possessions, but the people that's in my life. The most important thing in my life is not what I own, but it's the people who I relate to. And that's the most important precious commodity that I have, is relationships. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. And everyone said amen. Got a water baptism.
It doesn't get much better than that, for sure. I have brought my phone up here with me to remind you that if you have not downloaded the Eagles Way app yet, you need to think about that. You can go to the Apple Store or the Google Play, whichever one happens to be yours, and you hit, and you go on all kind of information that is available at your fingertips, from the blogs that Joey and Dusty write to Buren sermons. You can watch it on video, or you can see the or listen to the podcast. You can contact us, our email, Right Now Media. How many of you are using Right Now Media? All five of you. Oh, wonderful. So that monthly payment we're paying is for those five. I hope you all are enjoying that. If you have not considered it, maybe you didn't even know what Right Now Media is. There's a flyer at the information booth. You can grab on it. You can be invited to that. You have access. It is like, the easiest way to explain it, it is a Christian Netflix membership that costs you nothing. We are paying that price, kind of like Jesus. No, I'm just teasing. I don't want to compare that. We're paying that price for you, so you have access to using that. You can access that on your Eagles Way app. If you want the calendar of events that are coming through the end of the year, they're on there. So if you're planning a vacation and you don't want to miss the cookout that and service to our community on August 28th, check it. It's on there. You can check it and make sure that you're not planning something where you shouldn't be. If you have a particular podcast or a particular YouTube video of the sermon that you want to mark as your favorite, as soon as you mark it while you're watching it, it then goes to your favorites, and you can pull it up at any point in time. This stuff is amazing. These little phones, they do all kind of stuff. If you want to give, we have over half of you now giving from your app. It takes about 30 seconds to 45 seconds to set it up. You can do it through just straight from your bank account, or if you can use a debit card, or you can use a credit card. However you want to do it, whatever is the easiest for you. Once you've done it once, it only takes 5 seconds. It's pretty easy. Even Spencer said, "Will, I want you to show me how to do this so I can do it from my phone." So he says, "I'm going to make an appointment and come in, and I'm going to get it set up." Our ushers can begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you for your faithfulness to serving, to giving, touching people's lives. I had the opportunity yesterday. I was the ticket person at the Rushton Hope handing out the meal ticket. And we had over 250 people that just came through. And you know what I got to say? I said, "Here you go. Here's a ticket. God bless you." The 250 people that I probably wouldn't ever had that chance to. Next month at Rushton Hope is what's called a block party. It won't be at Rushton Hope. We'll actually give you information on where that will be, but we're going to meet here at the church. But we need about 20 volunteers next month because there will be children's games. There will be some interaction, face painting, that kind of thing at this block party. So we plan on it. Look at your calendar. You can look on the app at the calendar to know when it is so you don't forget, because I know you don't read your bulletins. Some of you do. A lot of good information that is in there. Let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house to worship you, to receive of you, Lord. Thank you for refilling us each and every week. Lord, we bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, that you will use it for the furtherment of your kingdom to touch people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's worship.
For that you've done, for that you've done.
week.